Tomorrow night, Leil Ptikas Chometz. Tomorrow evening, Leil Ptikas Chometz. There's no shir, so tonight is the last shir before Yom Tov, and we'll be resuming Beis Hashem on Issur Chag. I saw a very interesting letter from Rabbi Kveger. I thought it gave me a bit of it's a beautiful letter Rabbi Kveger wrote. I know it's hard to even get close to the level of Yerushalayim Rabbi Kveger, but he wrote in the letter, and sometimes those letters tell us so much about a person. Rabbi Kveger writes the letter, and he said that, you know, if a person, he normally on Leil HaSeder, when he goes to the matzahs, and he goes to Mitzvah Moray, and he eats the Moray, he says that he feels the excitement of the mitzvah is so great to eat the Moray, he's so excited and thrilled to eat the Moray, that he doesn't actually feel the bitterness of the Moray. That is to say, he doesn't feel the bitterness of the Moray. And he says, Muftachani, he says, Nusach, that I'm sure that anybody really believes in the mitzvahs, and he has such an enjoyment of fulfilling the mitzvahs, that the time of Meriris goes away. He doesn't even feel the bitterness. Which instantly, up Aloch, it's quite interesting, that Mikveiga felt that you don't actually need to feel the Moray. But never mind that point, I just feel that it's an attitude of excitement towards the mitzvahs. It's more than anything else. It's an excitement and a feeling and sense of wow, look how beautiful those mitzvahs are. Has also about Leib says something. One year when he was close to 100, the doctors told him he shouldn't eat matzahs because he had a very 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 weak digestive system. He was eating for dozens and I don't know for maybe for 70, 80 years. He ate nothing but some porridge in the morning and some. He ate very very little. Son said that he never saw him eating any cakes or anything in his whole life. Can you imagine? He ate so little. But when he came one year on so the doctor told him he shouldn't eat matzahs at all. He shouldn't eat matzahs. It's not good. It's dangerous for him. A 100-year-old person who's got a very weak digestive system. He's physically he's unable to. He's not healthy. It's dangerous for him to go through matzahs because they eat matzahs. So he said, okay, if that's what Hashem wants, that's what he's going to do, and he's not gonna eat matzahs on Leil HaSeder. However, when he came to Leil HaSeder, suddenly, when he came to Magid and everything, when he came to Moetzi matzah, suddenly he grabs a. He makes the brachas and he grabs the matzah and he starts eating the matzah. And then his son tells him that, Daddy, you know, you're not, didn't the doctor say that you shouldn't have matzah? He says, yeah, the doctor said, but I couldn't hold myself back. I saw those matzahs in front of me. I just couldn't hold myself back. And he ate the matzahs and yeah, but Hashem, everything was fine. And so I just think that, okay, al pialocha, again, this is in chiddush. One has to understand what's the het exactly if a person is not healthy, etc., etc. But never mind all that. The whole attitude and approach, and it's you know, besides all the, of course, there is a gemaldige lachatz, there's a bit of a halachatz in terms of halachot for everything, mamash in the halachic best way of pressure on that side. Of course, there's other pressure as well on the technical side and everything. But all this mustn't take anything away from the prime and essential thought process that goes through our mind, which is the excitement to the mitzvahs. Well, it is that to the level of Rabbi Kveger that he even didn't feel the bitterness anymore. He didn't feel the bitterness of Moray because of the excitement of the mitzvah. Shor b'zoicha to fill the mitzvahs with great cheshek and the great hidu b'ezer Hashem. We're up to Simon Shin Gimel. We're up to Sif Yud Zayin. I want to learn Sif Yud Zayin, Sif Yud Ches, and go through the vast amount here, and possibly proceeding to Sif Yud Ches and Chof as well. So Sif Yud Zayin tells us, in the bottom of page 182, Yesh Oysim Lovi Maftach, Afilu B'chotzer Abayis Kim B'yodoy. Okay, Shulchan Aruch tells us, if you have got a key, which you normally would attach to your garments, to your belt, in a non-permissible way. It would be dangling down or something. You're not allowed to walk like this, even in a chotzer bais, even in your own courtyard, in your own house. Don't walk around like this if it's with the keys attached to your garments or to your belt or anything like that. Don't walk around like this. The only way you can walk around is by holding the key in your hand, even in the house. So don't attach it to your belt in a non-permissible way. For a very obvious reason, because if you've got the key attached to your garments, to your belt, in a way which you don't have to walk out with, if you're going to walk in your house like this, potentially you may forget and you're going to end up walking the Rosh Hashanah like this. Hence, the only permissible to walk around is by holding the key in your hand. Yes, I'm going through the words of the Shulchan Aruch again. Yes, oisim some asal lehavi maftiach afilo bechatzar habayis kim biyodoi. Some hold that the only way to hold the keys whilst you're holding it in your hand and do not connect it onto your belt or anything like that, in a way that you're not allowed to walk out with. Shema yishkach, perhaps you'll forget. V'yotzi'en, you'll walk like this. Rishus Rabim, Rishus Rabim. So if you've got, you have to just hold the key in your hand. Because if you would just normally like dang it down or something, which you're not allowed to walk out like this, Rishus Rabim, don't walk around, in the house even, don't walk around like this. In other words, don't put the key in your pocket. Don't put the key in your pocket. Because you may forget, and you're going to end up walking like this, Rishus Rabim. So the only permissible way, with regards to the key is, to hold in your hand, because like this, we're not concerned. You can walk in the Shusha Rabim. Everybody's going to remember that he's holding a key in your hand. Nobody's going to start walking like this in the Shusha Rabim. Sif Yud Ches. Sif Yud Ches divided into two parts. The first part is about four lines, and the continuation is the second part, which is a critical, essentially, sort for the whole Siman. So the first four lines are as follows. Kol Shos Chom Lot says, Poel Shusha Rabim. We know that anything that's been asked to walk out in the Shusha Rabim, so all the things we've been discussing now, that you're not allowed to walk out in Rishus Rabim with. Kolch also chomelotz is Rishus Rabim. Anything that has been also lotz is baf lechotz she'enim u'revis. We know there's a concept of chotz she'enim u'revis. A chotz she'enim u'revis is, there used to be in the times of the Mishnahs, and that went all the way down till the times of the Middle Ages. There was, in many places, there was, and certainly in the Sephardic countries, and the Ashkenazi countries to some extent as well, there was a chotzah, a courtyard, which was, so there was a main street, let's start from the main street, and the main street would have courtyards, the main street would have courtyards going out, and those courtyards would be shared premises for some private domains. So think of a street, and then off the street there's a courtyard, and on that courtyard be a few families living there together. It could either be mureves, and then it's a chotzer ha-mureves, and eruv would be made there, and therefore you'd be allowed to carry that. Or it's a chotzer she'enu mureves, and the chotzer she'enu mureves then essentially is an area they're not allowed to carry because it's not a private, it's not a completely private domain. So there's little houses or little flats, say, and then they're leading to a chotzer, a courtyard. The courtyard could either be chotzer she'enu mureves, no eruv has been made, and then you can't carry that. Or it's a chotzer mureves, and eruv has been made, and then you can carry within those premises. And all those chotzer she'enu mureves or chotzer mureves would lead into a public domain. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch teaches over here, whenever we said you're not allowed to carry something, you're also not allowed to carry those things. All the examples that we've been discussing now for the last few weeks, all those examples, if you're not allowed to carry them in Rishus Rabim, you are similarly also not allowed to carry them in a chotzer she'eino mureves, in those courtyards which you're not allowed to carry, you're also not allowed to carry those things. But there's an exception. So kol shos chomelotz Rishus Rabim, also lotz b'chotzer she'eino mureves, chutz mekovlu pe'anochis. Excluding is a kovlu pe'anochis, dahainu kli aser shekolo b'sech saro. This is the hair covering, the head coverings of women, which were attached to the hair. And the reason is that the Mishabura says, Shalot Yisgani al Balo, it enhances her appearance, and we want her to be looking presentable to her husband, and therefore, that we're allowing Chotz Shen Merevs. It's true, generally, anything they're not allowed to carry in Rishus Rabim, you're also not allowed to carry in a chotzer she'eino mureves, correct. However, kovul and peonoches are things which normally you wouldn't be allowed to carry, we learned Ensif Gimel. You're not allowed to carry those, she's not allowed to walk out with the hair attachments to her. You're not normally to walk out like this in the Rishus Rabim. However, in chotzer she'eino mureves, it's permitted. V'yesh, or some say, to call she also lots is boy, whenever you're not allowed to walk out, I feel this kasha b'vayis also. Some say no, it's also, even in the house itself, it's also, for kolch ken lotz is boi b'chotzim revis. There's that opinion that holds that no, anything is also, no, even in the house itself, it's also, chotzim kovul pe'anochis, excluding kovul pe'anochis here again, because you're looking at the scandal of Balavish. Oim shakol muta lotz boi b'chotzim, hafilu she'enu merev, hafilu enu merevis, and some say no, everything is muta, who even in a chotzim she'enu merevis, there's a special heter, and anything that's been asked until now is only also in a Rishus Rabim. Full stop. New paragraph. Now, pardon? No. Third opinion holds, it is muta. First opinion said, it's also excluding kovul and peanoches. And the third opinion says, in the chotzer everything is permitted, even beyond kovul and peanoches.
So
Indeed, yes, far more mekel. Yeah. Good. Now, Shulchan Aruch now addresses a very important shaila. Shulchan Aruch says, hold on a second. We've been talking now for many shulim, we've been talking about so many tachshitim, and it's an underlying rule by all the tachshitim we're discussing that actually there's a problem of wearing jewelry. Because jewelry, at times, a woman is going to take off her jewelry and he's going to show it off, and she's going to end up carrying Taladamas Pashus Rabim. So Shulchan Aruch says, stop here. This was a gzera, which we've been discussing now since very much Sif Aleph. So count how many days it is, or perhaps even, count how many days it is. So we've been discussing for quite a while, the whole Siman Shin Gimel is based on the concept that Gzeiras Tachshitim, a woman may take off her jewelry and is going to show it off. Shulchan Aruch says, okay, let's face the facts. You're going to really tell, is that really true that women are not allowed to walk around with jewelry on Shabbos? Is that really true that women are only going to wear their jewelry in their houses and outside not because of Gzeiras Tachshitim? Shulchan Aruch says, let's get real. That's not true. It's not possible. If you want, women are going to wear their jewelry and they're going to wear it very much outside. So what's going on? What are we going to do about it? And the question I'm asking now is exactly Shulchan Aruch's question. How are we going to deal with the fact that women want to wear their jewelry outside? And Shulchan Aruch is going to go through a few approaches in Malchim to explain and justify the fact that women walk outside with jewelry. Let's see. Voidna, and nowadays, I'm in the fourth line. No shedidon, our women, no agulotzes b'chol tachshit. And our women, they will always walk out with any jewelry. We spoke, there's problems with earrings. We discussed there's potentially problems of nose rings. We spoke about other jewelries. There's lots of problems out here. So our minigis, however, says Shulchan Aruch, everything categorically is mutter. V'yesha omu, the Medina Asur, some say that really, there's an issa here. Hello, shekim and shalishmu, mutav sheyu shoygus v'alim azidois. There's a rule, a concept, that there we know that an avera which is done, bemezid, willingly, is far worse than avera which is done, a shoygik, without knowledge. So there's a rule that we apply in numerous places in Shulchan Aruch, that when you know he's not going to listen to you, and that currently he's a shoygek, you know he doesn't know exactly the details of the halach. He doesn't know if it's mutter also. He hasn't got clarity. So, but at the moment he's classified as a shoygek. And I know this particular person, if I'm going to tell him, you know, what you're doing now, actually it's also, we know he's not going to listen to me. So what's best to do? What's best thing to do? So there's a rule of mutav shu shogigin value mazidin. If you know he's not going to listen, don't tell him. Because of you, he's going to end up burning. Because of you, it's going to become amazed now. He's not going to listen to you anyway. So what are you telling him for? Mutav shu shogigin, it is better they remain on the level of shogigin. Value mazidin, and it shouldn't be mazid intentional. And doing that intentionally. This is a very important rule. That whenever you know for sure, for certain, or you can presume with quite certainty that they will not listen to you, so mutov shiu shoygigin, better not to tell them. You know, now they're shoygig, leave it. Just leave it, don't tell them. Value is eating, they shouldn't be amazed because of you. You're oibachuchim, big tzaddik, you're telling them what to do, don't bother. Yeah. Yeah, so for you, it's good news. Because if somebody would show you Shulchan Aruch of something, you're going to say, oh, I'm going to stop doing it. Good. But we are talking about people that the fact that you're showing them a black and white Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch, it's not going to convince them. They're not going to be convinced. They're still going to do it. So now you're better off not showing it to them. If they ask, then they're not going to listen, good question. Mr. Berlin asked the question. We know generally the rule of mutav shu shogigin v'alyu mezidin. Don't tell them if they're not going to be able to listen to you. What happens if they ask? If they ask, but yet you know they're not going to listen. So why are they asking? Intellectual, academic progress or...
Like a shiner, you ask a rabbi shiner. If the rabbi knows, he gives you the real, not a heter, but a strong answer. He knows you're not going to...
It's a very, very, very serious child of that. Generally, I would assume that if somebody asks, obviously depend on circumstance, I would assume that if somebody asks, chances are that if you put it the right way, you put it the right way, and you bring some etaim on some exception. I think on the whole they'll listen. I think on the whole you have to say. You can't say something is mutter if something is bam is also. You don't have to tell them if you're not going to listen, but if they ask, you can't say something is mutter if something be'emes is also. That you can't. So here we have a case that we know about the jewelry. Yes, those earrings are also. Yes, those rings are also. Yes, those jewelry is also. But we are maker with the ladies, because better to leave them on a level of shoygin rather than make them into mezidim, because they're not going to listen anyway. You cannot ask, hey lady, not to wear jewelry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Surely today's women know that.
Yeah, so, yeah, 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 yeah. So you are saying according to, yeah. So absolutely. So you're right. So there is, you could argue that if you know that particular individual and you know she's going to listen and you know that she'll be right with it, then you should take it to her. But it's generally, he said that generally, cool, relax it, relax, you know, don't push it, calm down, because they're not, don't worry about it, because they're not going to listen.
The ladies themselves would know.
Pardon?
The ladies themselves would know. They're very full.
Well, how will they know?
They would know, if they're very full, they would know.
Yeah,
so... Told
them. Yeah, so if that's the case, then
yeah, so
mutav so then it could be that if they were listening, mutav shushing the value mizidim won't apply. Correct. So that's one approach. So again, the question was why do ladies wear jewelry? The answer is because we don't want them to be mazed. Second question: it's another approach. Why is it that women wear jewelry? It could be that based on what we just said now a minute ago, says another approach as follows. We know there's a distinction between Shuz Rabim Doraisa and Chodshim Nehurevis, which is over here compared to a Karmelis. We know that nowadays, most public domains are not classified, strictly speaking, to a proper public domain. They're not Rishus Rabim Doraisa. They will most, maximum will be a Karmelis. They'll be a Karmelis, which is only with the Rabbonon. And it's therefore, there is room to say, that you know, that could be that the women are Mekel, because we're anyway not talking about a Doraisa. We're talking about the Rabbanon. And here we can't, there's more leniency. So that's that. So Mishnah Berurah says, second reason why the ladies are Mekel, because it's Rishus Rabim Doraisa doesn't apply nowadays, and you've got Karmelis now. It's Karmelis and it's more lenient. Yeah.
This is all because of
like ladies or something? No. That means that it's true. That means that if we have, yes, correct. I would argue this is correct what you're saying, that it's not necessarily specifically talking about ladies. The coolest that have applied also with regards to men, shyless, I would argue the same as you as well. Yeah.
Said that you could wear a hat in a
yeah, so that would be. Yeah. Yeah, so that's. Yeah, the same. Well, L'chayra, it's the same. So, yeah. Okay, another reason brought down in the remote, Ramos is another reason, which is this one, the beginning is specifically for jewelry. So, you know, jewelry that was discussed in previous generations, there was jewelry that people would only wear on rare occasions. Ah, that's a piece of jewelry. You know the chosn, the color watch? Do you know that piece of jewelry that you got from your great grandmother that you only wear on, you know, you when you're marrying off your children, you know, that kind of piece of jewelry that you only, you know, some ladies have jewelry they only wear a really special occasion when they marry off children or things like that. So that kind of jewelry, oh, that I hear. If you walk around like this on Shabbos, that's a problem. You might take it off, show off, you know, this. is from Poland from the 1820s. And, you know, this is like a very special make. This I bought from Paris and whatever. That's choshuv. But it's nowadays like, oh, come on. Everybody wears jewelry. What are you going to show off already? This piece of jewelry, it's quite common. That stickle, earring, it's nothing. How often do you see already ladies? I think you mentioned that as well, Mr. Berlin. I think I want. Why are you going to show off over here? It's common. It's regular. It's completely normal. And therefore, the shaila doesn't apply, and therefore it's mortal. Again, three reasons why where you don't have to be strict on jewelry today. First heta is motiv shoyg again. You can be lenient. Second reason is the camel is the abonon, correct? And finally, the reason is because. It's that exact doesn't apply nowadays. I want to say that, listen, Karel, it has a problem with the last one. Some of the person nowadays argue nowadays, what do you tell about the last reason, Abba Isai? So it depends, I think, it depends on the society. Some person want to say that in some societies, which are maybe in England, it's not like, in some areas in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a bit of poverty, and ladies don't have necessarily so much jewelry, they only wear it on Shabbos. And our areas in Eretz Yisrael, where families are poor, yes, they are poor, and they don't possess a lot of jewelry. And here again, their chances, you know, they only wear jewelry on Shabbos, and even then, not every Shabbos, on Yom. And here it could be again that Exer does apply. He said there is a certain social aspect to it, the contemporary poets can say, that in societies where drawing jewelry is totally common, and you do it every day, on a weekday, normal, and it's completely part of the norm, there, the more makes sense. But in certain societies where it's quite rare to wear jewelry, there again, actually, the Ramah, one could argue on the Ramah and say that the Gzerah does apply. Umiyu continues the Shulchan Aruch. Tabas sheyesh lo choisem leisha. When it comes to a ring which has a signet ring, like a choisem sign ring on it, leisha v'sheyin lo choisem leish, a man who has a ring which doesn't have a choisam, that's not but the chayav chatos. We learned that's very, very severe. That's chayav chatos to go out with this. Half bekamen is also fully done. That's always categorically going to be also. For then the kol mada itma bechiv chatos. Whenever we learn something is chayav chatos, that's going to be also. That remains also. So everything, the term that we said now, but there's a shit that's only for the rabbonons, but the rices remain also. With regards to rings, says Shulchan Aruch, men do walk out with rings nowadays. Is that the case nowadays? Men walk out with rings? Yeah, there is still certainly such a. So he said that if men walk out with rings, then areloem tachshit v'shoy. That's a tachshit. That's muta. V'lefize ef shad kim shenu agu achshav v'noshem etzibtabas shishlo choisem. Harehu lohen takitachshit v'shoy. Shulchan Aruch says, in places where men wear rings, even it's without a choisem, which is more strict, it's muta. If that's the norm, that's the minhag. Men wearing men's rings, that is more to do on Shabbos as well for those men. One halachic with regards to the pins and the needles, make sure you only wear what is necessary. Anything which is beyond the absolute necessity, they shouldn't be put into clothing, it shouldn't be worn. So with regards to pins and needles and various things which are in the garments, Shulchan Aruch, anything which has no need at all, they will listen to us already, and you can ask them and request them to take it out because there's no tzorich in it, it's not tachshit, and it's not to'eles, and therefore one should ensure that it's taka out. Those items should be taken out. So fine. Let's just recap what we covered tonight. We spoke about the keys which should be held in the hand, because if not, then you're going to end up carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim. We learned about the minhag, why are ladies lenient nowadays, and we said with regards to tachshitin, zeres tachshitin, it is only with regards to specific zeres tachshitin when it comes to the rices. We didn't discuss it's also zeres tachshitin is motive for three reasons. Nowadays, first of all, because of Mutav Shushoigigin. Second of all, because of Rishus Rabim. Yeah, Karmanis, correct. And thirdly, because nowadays women will not show it so common, people will not show off their jewelry. And he said, they got men also, it's mutter, that's the norm. And but however, whatever has no toilets at all should be removed and taken out and not go walked out. So I wish you all a very, very good Yom Tov, Akosha and Pesach, Hafrelich and Pesach, Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zoichel this year to eat min ha'zvochim min ha'psochim.